Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Bible Storyland. Mokoshe Bakadere Sheke. We are gathered here, Mokoshe De Bakade, to bless the name of our Lord, our God. He has been merciful, kind, and Mokoshe loving towards us. So we came to bless him this morning, to praise him, to give him glory and honor. Well, Father God, this morning we just come before your holy presence, thanking you for your Mokoshe, your divine presence this morning. We are meeting here because of you, O God, in the name of Jesus. We have no reason, Mokoshe, but to meet Mokoshe, but to give you glory, to give you honor, to give you praise. We thank you that you are the Most High God, that you are Abba Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we come to bless you today, O God. We come to honor you, to give you glory, praise, due unto your holy name, O God. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus for your presence, your divine presence. We love your presence, O God. We just thank you when you come to visit with us, O God, because you are our Lord. You are a shepherd, and we shall not want. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that you've done on our behalf. We don't take it lightly when you come to visit us. We don't take it lightly that you wake us up every morning to give you praise and glory and thanksgiving, O God. We are blessed in the name of Jesus to have you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are blessed that we can call you Abba Father. And not only that, that you answer, you hear and you answer. You said even before we call, you hear us and you answer us. So we thank you for that privilege, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we bind up backlash, retaliation, revenge the enemy would try to bring against us. We thank you that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every lying demon that try to rise up against us in judgment is already condemned. In the name of Jesus, we bless you today, Father God. We honor you, O God. We just thank you for your holy divine presence, Father God. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's none like you. None can compare to how great you are, how awesome you are, how mighty you are, O God, because you are mighty God. Mighty and awesome are you. Father, I thank you for your word, O God. You honor your word above your name. And so, Father, we just say thank you, O God, in the name of Jesus, for your precious word, O God. Father, many people don't have Bibles. They're not even allowed to have them in certain countries, O God. They will be murdered if they have a Bible. But we who have Bibles, let us pick them up and value the word that's written in our Bibles, O God. And we thank you that you honor that word above your name. And we thank you, Father God, for Jesus, who came here, died for us, O God, that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly, O God. We thank you for that life that Jesus gave us when he died on the cross, O God, and he rose. And I thank you for Jesus being with you, Father God, on your right hand, interceding for us in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Jesus' mighty intercessions that he pray on our behalf in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that you keep us in your holy thoughts, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You are always keeping us in your holy thoughts, Father God. So this morning, Father, we say thank you, Abba Father, for being our Lord. Thank you, Abba Father, for being our shepherd. We thank you that you are the shepherd of shepherds. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, and you never forget us, O God. You are careful to watch over us morning, noon, and night, Father God. And so we come to bless you, to honor you, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for visiting us on Bible Storyland, Father God. We thank you for your holy presence. We thank you, Father God, that you are an honorable God. You are the holy, righteous King. You are the mighty God. Father, I lift up families this morning. Every family represented on Bible Storyland, every person on Bible Storyland, and the families they represent, O God. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for waking us up early, O God. You said if we seek you early, we'll find you, O God. So So help us to find you early, O God, in the name of Jesus. Early risers, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we can come into your presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because you are the God who never sleeps nor slumbers. You are always keeping us in your thoughts. You are always awake, O God. We thank you for what you're doing in the earth realm, O God. Move mountains on our behalf. We speak to every mountain in our lives, and we say, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. Every heavy burden we are carrying, we cast them off and put them on you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because you're able, in the name of Jesus, to carry our burdens, O God. Your burden is light. So we cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we say thank you, O Lord, that you are God, Mokoshe, who's always with us. You don't ever leave us. You don't ever forsake us. You are always here for us. You are always keeping us in your holy palm, O God, that mighty palm, that holy palm, O God, that's so huge. You're able to keep us, O God. Father, I thank you that you know each one of us. You even know how many hairs we have upon our head. You are so great, O God. You even know our fingerprints. You know our voice prints. You know when each one of us call your name in the name of Jesus. You know when we say, Abba, Father, which art in heaven. You know which one of it is. You say, oh, yeah, that's my daughter. That's my son. So, Father, I thank you that we can call on your name. I thank you that we can dwell in your presence. I thank you, Father God, that we can come into the secret place of you, O God, dwelling in your presence, O Most High. We can say to you, Father God, you are refuge. You are strength. You are a mighty God. You are the one who fights every battle for us. Father, this morning we put on the whole armor upon us, O God, the whole armor. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, I thank you that we have on the helmet of salvation, O God. We have in Mokoshe our breast, Mokoshe plate, O God. In the name of Jesus, our loins are girded about with truth. Mokoshe bakade, e shekeo bakaderia. I thank you that we have the sword of the Spirit in our hand in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I thank you that peace is our portion in every one of us, even in our households, in our communities. I thank you that safety is our portion. We are safe in our homes, safe in our neighborhoods. I thank you for dispatching holy angels of protection all around our homes, all around our properties, all around the inside, the outside, all around our vehicles as we go in, as we come out. We say, have your way, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are the mighty King, and there's nothing too difficult for you. Father, your word says, whatever we ask in your name, believing you are granted. So I believe, Father God, that you are with us this morning because we ask for your presence, O God, and your presence is mighty. Your presence is holy in the name of Jesus. And I thank you this morning, Father God, that our children are in a safe place with you. We bind the hand of the enemy that try to take our children out before Mokoshe Baka their time, O God. We say every child in the United States, every child in every continent would live out all their days. We bind the hand of the enemy that would try Mokoshe to murder, steal them, rob or kill them, O God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for those holy angels around our children. We come to repent before you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because, Father God, we sin. We are human. We sin against you. Forgive us for every sin, every iniquity, every transgression, every trespasses that we commit against you, every false way in us, every little fox that spoiled our vine. Forgive us, O God, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, O God. Father, your word says, we who are called by your name, if we would humble ourselves, Mokoshe Baka, turn from our wicked ways. Mokoshe Baka, obey you. Mokoshe Baka, that you would heal the land. Mokoshe Baka, Father, we come today crying out because our land has been full of blood, the blood shed of our innocent children, O God. They are falling and dying in the streets, oh God. Mokoshe Bakade. And so, Father, we repent for every way we've been negligent, every way we haven't been praying for our children, every time we have not called out our children by name. Forgive us, Father God. So, Father God, every child, I call them out by name, even the ones I don't know their name. I call them out now. You know their name, Father God. I call out life and life more abundantly. I say our children shall live and they shall not die. They shall declare your mighty works, O God. I call out every child in the United States. I say they shall live and not die. Every child in every city, every county in the United States, our children shall live and not die in the name of Jesus. They shall live holy, righteous lives like Samuel all the days of their lives in the name of Jesus. I say they will not be taken out early by drugs, mokoshe by sin, mokoshe by innocence, by any way in the name of Jesus. I cover our children with your precious blood, O God. In the name of Jesus, no weapon that is formed against our children. Mokoshe bakade shike order didi alalala moko Satan, your hands are bound. Mokoshe baka, mokoshe, we put you on notice. You have no weapon nor authority that can come against the children of the Most High God. So, Father, even those children whose families are not saved, those parents who don't know how to call on you, who refuse to call on you, I call upon you on their behalf for their children, O God. In the name of Jesus, I say their children should live and not die and declare your works. They should live long lives. Mokoshe bakade shike moko. In the name of Jesus, I say our children shall follow curfews. They shall be in their homes. They will be protected. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over every home where every child is in the United States and throughout the world. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, O God, that our children are in a safe place in you. In Jesus' name. Mokoshe baka. Father God, I break and disannul every ungodly covenant that we have made, every oath, every pledge. Mokoshe baka, we have made with our lips in the name of Jesus. I renounce and break every ungodly oath made by our ancestors to idols, demons, false religions, and ungodly organizations in the name of Jesus. Mokoshe baka, I break and disannul all covenants with death and hell made by our ancestors in the name of Jesus. I break and disannul all ungodly covenants made with idols or demons by our ancestors in the name of Jesus. I break and disannul all blood covenants made through sacrifice that would affect our lives in the name of Jesus. I command all demons that claim any legal right to our lives through covenants to come out. In the name of Jesus, I break and disannul any covenant made with false gods and demons through the occult involvement and witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, I break and disannul all spirit marriages that would curse, that would cause incubus and succubus demons to attack our lives. In the name of Jesus, I break and disannul any marriage to any demon that would affect our lives. In the name of Jesus, I break all agreements with hell. In the name of Jesus, we have a covenant with you, O God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We joined, Mokor, we are joined to you, O Lord, and we are one spirit in you, Lord Jesus. We break all ungodly covenants and renew our covenant with you, O God, through the body and the blood of Jesus. We divorce ourselves from any demon that would claim our lives through any ancestral covenant in the name of Jesus. We bind and cast out any family demon that would follow us through life, through ancestral covenants in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you are holy and a righteous God, and we can come before your presence. So we thank you for your holy presence this morning, O God. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, O God. We honor you, O God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence, Father God. In the name of Jesus. So we thank you and we bless you. We honor you in Jesus' holy name, we pray. Today is Family Land. Today is Family Day on Bible Story Land. We honor fathers, mothers, children, extended family members, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins. We honor the King of Kings today. He created families in his own image. We give unto our Lord the glory due to his name. We come to worship him this morning, to stay in his presence all day, every day. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Well, this morning we are honored with the presence of the Most High God, because he said whenever two or more are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of us. So we have many on this morning from all over the country. We have people on from Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, from Michigan, from New York, from Ohio, from different Louisiana and other places. So I just thank God for each of you joining us this morning. I thank God for you being on with us this morning. Well, we have a mighty young woman of God from New York. I met this mighty woman of God over the phone, and I eventually met her in December. She came to Jacksonville, and I got to meet her, and she is a mighty woman of God. God has gifted her with the voice of song and praise. We adopted each other. She's my spiritual daughter. So I thank God for her. Name is Tamika Reeves. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm blessed.
Is it snow on the ground in New York?
It was snowing yesterday a little bit, and I think it's supposed to snow again today, I think. The temperatures are really dropping over here.
Wow. Well, we're happy to have you on this morning. You ready to sing that song unto the Lord this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Happy to be on this morning.
All right. We're waiting.
We have come into this house to gather in his name, to worship him. We have come into this house to gather in his name, to worship him. We have come into this house to gather in his name, to worship Christ our Lord. We must worship him, Christ our Lord. We are gathered in his name to worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. We must worship him, Christ our Lord. worship him. He is all our righteousness. We stand complete in only him, and we will worship him. He is all our righteousness. We stand complete in him, and we worship Christ our Lord. We must worship him, Christ our Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus, we sing. Oh, the blood of Jesus, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. It will never its power, 'cause it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives you strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose its power.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, that was awesome, Tanika. I thank God for you. God bless you.
Thank you for having me this morning.
I tell you, that song was awesome. We gather in his name to worship him. You know, he is the Most High God, and we gather. That's why we gather here today. We didn't gather here just to be on here. We gather to worship him. And she also sang about the blood of Jesus. It has a healing power. So I thank God for that wonderful song. You have a blessed and a wonderful day, my daughter. Stay on as long as you can. The Lord is moving mightily. Well, Karen Itell, who usually plays the beautiful anointed music, is going to be away for 2 weeks. We miss her. But she called to let us know. So keep her in prayer. So I thank God for each of you being on this morning. Our next guest is a mighty man of God from Kalamazoo, Michigan. And he is a father and a husband and a father. He's married to my good friend and prayer partner, my sister in the Lord. And I just thank God for this mighty man. He's like a pastor. You know, when I've heard him bring forth the word. He's come on Bible Story Land before. So we thank God. Good morning, Pastor Houston. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great. How are you on this wonderful day?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
We're great. We got about 12 inches of snow on the ground, but we're doing just great.
Y'all have more than New York has.
Yeah, and it's still snowing, so it looks really nice.
Yeah, I love to watch it, but trust me, from love, like TV, I don't want to be out the window watching it. I want to be on TV looking at it.
Yes, I understand.
So he's going to give us a testimony this morning about him as a man of God, and you know how God has brought him through trials, but God never left him, so we're ready to listen. Thank you for being on.
All right, yes, it's a wonderful thing serving the Lord. You know, being out of high school and going into college, you know, I was doing my own thing. Thought I knew what I was doing, thought I was grown, big enough to do what I wanted to do. But one day, a young man came to where I worked, and I was a manager after graduating from high school for Kmart. And he came in, and the management had said they was doing no more hiring. So he came to the job, and he talked to me. I said, well, I don't think they're doing any more hiring right now, but you can fill out an application. And lo and behold, this young man was hired the following week. And little did I know at the time that this young man was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I began to talk to him. He began to talk to me, and I just thought, hey, he could be one of my running buddies, just like I had in college. And I had moved away from home, so I was looking for some new friends. And so we went to his car, and I noticed on the license plate he said, Jesus is God, on his license plate. And I said, well, you go to church? And he says, yes. And he began to witness to me. And, boy, I was just listening, and I knew it was the power of God, because I was just listening to him, and he was witnessing about the goodness of God and the power of God and how God has helped him and delivered him out of many things. And I began to look at I began to continue to listen to him, and you know, and I was listening, and he was witnessing to me, and I said, wow. He invited me out to church, and I said, well, yeah, I'll try to make it, you know. And so I did. I went out, and the word of God really touched me, you know, and convicted me, because I was doing my own thing. And you know, this was pretty much a confirmation of my mother was telling me for years. And somehow I wasn't really just listening to her. I would hear her and I say, well, okay, you know, and just go on my way. But this young man was saying some of the very same words, and it just struck me in awe. And so I went out to the church, and the preacher preached, and boy, I was really convicted. I just felt bad. I was like, what should I do? And the preacher was saying, well, if the blood running warm in your veins, you need to come. And I was saying, well, is he talking to me? He's speaking to me. So I got up, and I went and got baptized, and later on, you know, I didn't get the Holy Spirit right away, but the Lord blessed me a few weeks to receive the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, and God really blessed me. And, you know, ever since that wonderful day, and that was about 30 years ago, my soul's been satisfied. You know, it was like an empty void there that needed to be filled. Partying didn't do it, alcohol, running around. Nothing seemed to satisfy that longing in my soul but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, once I was filled, boy, it made me complete spiritually. And I'm just elated. And every day with the Lord is sweeter than the day before. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I experience what's in the world is nothing but death, destruction, people using, abusing you. There's everyone for themselves. It's a selfish type spirit. It's a envious, jealousy. All of that is in the world. I don't miss any of that. You know, over in the Lord, you can have peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, you have the things that comes from God, that you could bear good fruit and that you could help others to come to Christ as well. You know, the Lord has delivered me out of a lot of things. And my testimony is that the Lord has blessed the Lord. I recall when I lost my job. My wife was working, but we were depending on two incomes. But somehow the Lord made a way where we didn't fall behind on our bills. We were able to keep up. We didn't go hungry. And, you know, I thank the Lord because when the Lord does it, it's done right. You know, he's healed my body. He's touched my mind. You know, the Lord has helped me on my job now. He's opened up my understanding to his word. The Lord is alive and well, and it's amazing that we serve this awesome, almighty God, one who knows all, one who can be intimate with each and every one of us simultaneously, that, you know, God is just a wonder, you know, and I thank him, and I praise him, and I give him the glory because he is an awesome God. This is the way to walk in this life. The Lord has shown me this is the way. This is what life's about, serving your life to please him, to draw others in to his kingdom, because only what's done for Christ is going to be counted in the end. You know, so I am thankful. I am grateful that the Lord has spared me and given me this great privilege to serve him and to serve his people. It is an honor. It is a privilege. And a mighty work. You know, I thank God for my wife. He's blessed me with. You know, it's something really ironic. October the 5th, 1980 is my spiritual birthday, and it happens to be my wife's also. She's a twin of mine. And what's really ironic about it is that at the time I was living in Inkster, Michigan, I got baptized. I just shortly had moved to Kalamazoo and got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost in Kalamazoo. And on that same day, she had received, and she was born in Battle Creek and lived in Kalamazoo. And on the same day, she got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit in Inkster. And so I said, wow. And the Lord brought us together. It was his doing, you know, and I thank God for it. He's done many things that were, quick, coming towards an accident. You call on that name, Jesus. He delivers, you know, Jesus gives you peace, comfort. He touches you. You know, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful way to live. Don't have to worry about hangovers. Don't have to worry about losing all your money to gambling, to cigarettes, to alcohol, drugs. You know, you have more. You're more complete, and you have all in all in Jesus, because Jesus owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's the Lord's. All the gold and silver. So it's wonderful to be called his child, that we can be partakers of all that he has, all that he has. You know, we have a rich Father, Heavenly Father, that's rich, and, you know, we have need of nothing being his child. You know, being his children, we have need of nothing, and I thank God. I thank God, and I thank God for my children. And they are grown now. They've been to college. My daughter's in culinary school. My son graduated with a degree. They are a wonderful blessing in my life. So we're ready to talk about the children when you're ready. But I just wanted to leave those words with you. And God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Mike. I really appreciate that. You know, that was a great testimony. I thank God for choosing you as a young man. And, you know, when we hear the voice of God, we know it.
Amen.
Here we know it. And I just thank God, you know, because even when he called Samuel, Samuel heard the voice. Then, you know, he didn't quite know whose it was until Eli told him. But, you know, God called him as a young man, and I thank God that God called you as a young man, Pastor Mike. So I thank God for that awesome testimony about how you got saved and how God has been with you throughout your family life, with, you know, choosing your wife for you, and also how God helped you through situations when you didn't have a job, I thank God. So thank you so much for that awesome testimony, Brother Mike.
Oh, yeah, glad to do it. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, our next guest is his precious helpmeet. She is they've been married. I don't know. How many years you been married, Brother Mike?
30 in April.
It'll be 30 years in April.
Woo! Hallelujah. So,
April 17th.
All right now. God is a good God. We've been married
Amen.
30 years. So his wife is my good friend, my prayer partner, my sister in the Lord. We
yeah.
and I've been knowing each other over 30 years. So I know her mom, Sister Martha. She's on the line with us this morning. So I thank God for her. And she's going to share a testimony with us this morning also. So good morning, Sister Sandra. How are you?
I am blessed, and it's just a blessing. We have electricity, and on this snowy day, because a lot of times you get all the snow and ice, and the electricity goes off. But God, he saw fit to allow us to keep the electricity on. We're in a warm house, and I just give the praises and glory to God. Even though some may think, well, that's just, you know, they may take it for granted. But we don't want to take anything that the Lord does for us for granted.
Amen. You ready to share your testimony?
Yes. Yes, I am. I just thank God that just like Mike was talking about how he got saved and how the Lord drew him here to Kalamazoo. The Lord drew me to Inkster, and a friend of mine, she was the sister of a young man that I was dating, and she was a Muslim, and, you know, matter of fact, I was going to become a Muslim because, you know, I thought, well, you know, I used to have Angela Davis, Huey Newton posters all over my bedroom wall when I was a teenager. And I didn't dislike white people at all, but I just liked that the big afro and the just the, you know, it was back in that day, it was a lot of, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, standing up for what you believed in and all of that. So I was just getting ready to become a Muslim. And she called me up and said, guess what? I said, what? She said, I got saved. I said, you what? She said, I got saved. I said, why did you do that? And she said, well, the Lord touched me. I went to church with my mother, and the Lord touched me. And now I got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, wow. So everything changed after that. She would come and she would take me, her and her prayer partner friends, they would come and pick me up and take me to different conventions, and on the way they would witness, and I remember on one occasion they witnessed to me and they was telling their testimonies, and I was just getting ready to cry. I was getting ready to cry because I was under the Spirit of the Lord. He was arresting me right there during the time that they were testifying. But and then one day in particular, I was dropping her off, and they all got out of the car, and they just all laid hands on the car and was praying. They were all praying for the car, for me. And so I thought, oh, my goodness. And so, but I knew that there was a change in her life, and I knew that I wanted what she had. And I was just so impressed with God and what he had done. He had the power to change a person that had been a Muslim for years and changed her over to be a Christian, being baptized in the name of Jesus, the one that they fought against, Jesus, being baptized in his name. And she, the Lord just changed her life. Now she's a minister. Her husband is a minister. They travel different places preaching the word, and I just thank God for my good friends, my brother and sister in the Lord. But anyway, one day she called me. She said, I want to take you to this tea up in Inkster. So it's where her mother went to church. So I said, well, okay, I'll go. And I was, you know, scrambling around and back. Well, you know how you, I wanted to make sure I was wearing the right thing and all. And my mother, I had moved back home then, and my mother, she was helping me find a nice dress to wear. And I wanted to look my best. You know, I was going to her church. I wanted to look my best. So I found something. She drove up there, and it was a female minister. And I thought, wow, I never seen a female minister before. And she came in, and her name was Evangelist Bertha Jordan from Ohio. And she started teaching the word. And there were some points there that I didn't quite really, I wanted some clarification on. And she said to she said, who's been baptized but haven't received the Holy Ghost yet? So two ladies came, you know, raised their hand, and she said, come on, I want you to come up here and sit in these two chairs. So they went up and sat in the two chairs, and so she said, I'm going to read these scriptures, and then I want you to read them until you feel the presence of the Lord on you. So they start reading the scriptures where the scripture that talks about if your earthly father can give you a fish, your heavenly father can give you even more if you just ask them. And she was talking about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they start reading the scriptures and reading that scripture. And there was another scripture they gave her about how they were up in the upper room, and they were filled. They were all on one accord and in one place at one time. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came in like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled them all. And you know, and they all began to speak with the Holy Ghost, speak with tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance. So they, you know, they just start reading the scripture, reading it, and then all of a sudden they got stammering lips, where the, you know, they was, you know, they started speaking like a little baby. And then she said, "Come on, come on, it's in your mouth, it's in your mouth." And they said, I, and then she said, come on, come on, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So she said, come on now, come on, it's right there, it's right there. And she, and as she spoke, and as she was, it was like a midwife saying, push, push the baby. I can see the baby's head. Just keep pushing, keep pushing. But that was an analogy. But she said, come on now, keep praising the Lord, keep praising the Lord. So she kept saying, come on now, come on. And right before us, that little beginning, like, just as they was just saying that, their tongues just changed. And they started speaking, hola, la, 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 shandere, kasabakaya. Hola, yes, samakande, she, la, 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 mandara, la, bata. Their tongues changed. And she said, that's right, glorify your Father, glorify the Lord. And they both were speaking in tongues. And I said, whoa, look at that. And she said that, so then Evangelist Jordan said, they just received the power of the Holy Ghost. They just received God. It is on the inside of them. And I thought, oh, I want God too. I want his presence inside of me. You know, I grew up in the church, but I never felt that, you know, I never felt that I really, it was something different. And my spirit bear witness to it. So You know, after the tea, Evangelist Jordan was getting ready, was going to be preaching in a little while. So my friend Sandy, she said, "Well, can you ride with me to get my choir robe? I forgot it." So I rode with her, and I said, "If I decide to go up and get saved, do I have to leave my other church?" And so she was full of wisdom. She said, "Well, you know, why don't you just do what the Lord wants you to do for now, and then He'll lead you to what He wants you to do." And I thought, oh, good, because the church that I was going to, I was raised up in there, and my mother, she was there, and my dad and other relatives in Jackson, my grandmother and all that, they were raised up in good Christian people, all of them. And I said, oh, I didn't want to leave the pastor and all this. So I went back, and Evangelist Jordan preached a good fiery message about Jesus, and it was time for the altar call. And so I was sitting next to my ex-boyfriend's mother, and I didn't really particularly care for her at the time because she was witness to me, and I just shut her off. You know, I didn't want to hear it because I felt like I had the truth. So, anyway, the bottom line was, I was already in church, sitting next to her, and it was altar call, and I said, "Well, I want to go up." My heart was touched. I wanted to go up, and I asked her. I said, "Is this the time you go up and get saved?" And she said, "Yeah, do you want me to go with you?" I said, "No, this is something I have to do on my own." So I went up on my own, and they took me in the back, and they were singing the song, "Take Me to the Water. Take me to the water, take me to the water, take me to the water and be baptized." And as they sang that, I came out ready to get baptized. I went down in the name of Jesus, came out, and she said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Ready for what?" She said, "Are you ready to receive God, the Spirit of God?" I said, "Yes." So I sat in the chair, and she said, "Now I want you to praise Him." So I went, she said, "Just say hallelujah." And so I did that, and so then I started crying. So she said, "Why are you crying?" And I said, I'm crying, I said, because I was in a really bad car accident when I was 18 years old. And I was driving the car, and my best friend died in the car accident. And I was carrying that guilt around for years about my best friend's death. And she said, "The Lord has forgiven you for that. And just thank God that you're still alive to experience this, experience Him coming in. Just praise Him for being alive." But, you know, at the time when I was going through all that, I just felt like, well, why did God, why did He take my best friend and leave me behind? I was just thinking all that. But thank God, He knows, and He left me to be able to witness to others, to let them know about the power of God, let Him know that He saves and delivers. So when I got the Holy Ghost, I began to speak. I began to speak and speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And I just spoke and spoke and spoke. And I got up. Hallelujah. I got up as they were all happy for me because a lot of them knew me up there. And I got up, and she said, "Stand up, and I want you to walk around the room." Ha! And I walked around. I was walking around the room, and I was speaking in tongues. I couldn't stop. And she said, finally I stopped. And so then she said, tell everybody what happened. So then I went to tell everybody what happened, and I just began to speak all over again. So I thank God for God being real and God taking that guilt away in my heart for that, for the death of my best friend. And he delivered me from that. And I just thank God for being a deliverer. Hallelujah. I thank God for being my savior, my keeper, and just being the King Jesus. I just thank him for being who he is and who he's becoming. And every day he's sweeter than the day before, and I just love him.
Amen, amen. Two great testimonies, husband and wife, praising the Lord. Spiritually born the same day. What an awesome testimony. That was awesome, Sister Sandra. I thank God for that. You telling about how you got saved as a young woman and how, you know, the struggle you went through of coming into the Lord, and how your good friend came to the Lord first and shared the Lord with you, and you got saved. So I thank God for, you know, saving you, your husband. And what a great testimony you all are in Michigan, in your area. Sandra also goes to the prisons and speak to other women. She tells them about the Lord, and many of them get saved. And so I just thank God for this mighty woman of God. Thank you so much, Sister Sandra. I love you.
Amen. I love you too.
Thank you so much. It was awesome.
Amen.
Well, God loves fathers. He loves mothers. He gave duties to parents to follow to train their children. So some of the duties that he gave to parents are, he said that we're to teach the children from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. Deuteronomy 6:7, to train our children. Proverbs 22:6, to provide for the children. 2 Corinthians 12:14, to nurture our children. Ephesians 6:4. To control our children, 1 Timothy 3:4. And you know what? That's where we're losing it in a big area right there. We don't control children anymore. You know, we go by what the law said. The law said, you can't do this, you can't do that. But you know, Daniel, as a young man, he didn't follow what the laws of that land. He followed God's law. And God said we are to control them. And so we have to follow what God. You know, nowadays the children are controlling their parents. When I taught school, I'll never forget this young man. He said, you know how we get our parents to do what we want them to do? We just stay on them and stay on them and stay on them and stay on them and stay on them. You know what? Our parents didn't allow that. My sister can attest. We ask our parents, and after we didn't ask them once, they say, don't you come back to me, keep asking me the same thing. Oh, no. They didn't allow us to keep asking the same thing. Or once they told you, that was law. You didn't keep doing that. You respected them. So we have to learn to control our children. And in the long run, it will pay off when we control them. You know, I see children going in Walmart, knocking stuff on the floor, eating chips while in the store and stuff. You know, that's not right. We got to control them wherever they are. We also, our duty is to love our children. You know, the Bible says older women teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. That's what we have to do, to love our children, to correct our children, to instruct our children. That's what God commanded. He told us to correct them in Proverbs 13:24, Proverbs 19:18, and in Deuteronomy 4:9, he taught us how to instruct them. From the time they get up to the time they go to bed. You know, God is a God of order. When he set order in families, he gave duties to parents as well as children. Here are some of the duties of the children and affirmations. These are some affirmations that I wrote for children that I was working with. Deuteronomy 6:5, I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Now, they might not have understood what I was teaching them at the time, but I tell you what, it will stay in their spirits. And at some point, they will learn to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, with all their strength. Because the people who taught me as a child growing up, I didn't always understand what they were teaching me, but later on, it came forth. So I thank God they planted seeds. Mark 12:33, I will love my neighbor and I will love myself. And you know that's what the Bible says, that we are to learn to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and strength, to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. And you know, when we love our neighbors, the murder is going to stop. The crime, the thievery is going to stop. The stealing is going to stop. We're not going to be jealous, envious, striving anymore. We're going to love them with pure hearts. Ephesians 6:1-3, I am obedient to my parents and I will live a long life. 1 Corinthians 13:11, I was a child and now I become a man or a woman. Tanisha's daughter is on with me on Thursdays, boys to men, girls to ladies. And that's our base scripture. When I was a child, I spake as a child. The rest of it, and then when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. So tell your children, your grandchildren, about boys to men, girls to ladies, 5 p.m. every Thursday. I say every Thursday, actually it's the first through the fourth Thursday of every month, first, second, third, fourth Saturday. Boys to men, girls to ladies, 5 p.m., same number you dial to get on here. We're teaching the children how to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and strength, how to be obedient to their parents, how to love their neighbors, how to love themselves. 1 Corinthians 7:1-2, it is good for me to have self-control. You know, our children need to learn, but first we have to control them until they get self-control within themselves and they can do it. The next one says, Colossians 3:20, I obey my parents in all things. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't obey my parent in everything. Some things I thought, oh, you know, my mama, she don't know this. Little did I know, she was a child like me. She knew way more than I knew. I had to learn that. The next one is Psalm 34:11. I fear the Lord. You know, our children don't even fear us, let alone fear God. You know, our parents, sometimes they beat fear into us. But we learn to fear them, and we have to learn to fear God. That's the one who created us. That's the one who can take our lives. That's the one who watches over us, who protects us. We have to learn. I'm talking about a reverential fear, a fear where we say, Abba, Father, where we love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength, where we honor him as the King of Kings and the only true and living God. Ecclesiastes 12:1, I remember my creator now and forevermore. Proverbs 23:22, I am known by the way I live. The last one, Proverbs 8:12, I am wisdom and God gives me knowledge of witty inventions. God made beautiful children. They are gifted and talented at birth. But the enemy of God, who is also our enemy, would try to make our children feel negative about them. Even in the beginning, Satan had Adam and Eve. He caused them to sin. They knew God's law, but he tricked them. He was cunning, which caused one of their sons to kill the other son, his brother. He killed his brother, physically killed him. Now, sin can come in our families in different ways, so we must continually to keep us from evil in our families, to keep us from evil of this world, to protect and provide safety for our families. In Bible times, in Deuteronomy, God commanded parents to teach their children from the time they get up about him until the time they go to bed. He didn't just say, go teach them about the wind, the weather, the stars, or teach them about, you know, the earth. He said, teach them about him from the time they get up till the time they go to bed. So let's read. I'm going to turn over here in Deuteronomy and read it to you. You know, God had a plan. God is not a man. He don't lie. God actually has plans for family. He knows what he is doing. God knows everything. Ain't nothing secret from our God. He's the mighty God. He said, I made the ear. You think I don't hear? He hears every conversation before we even speak it. That's how brilliant our God is. That's the kind of God we serve. He knows everything. Ain't nothing secret from him. He said, I made the eye. Don't you think I see? You know, a woman said something to me one time. She said, Caritha, when you were committing sin, don't you know God was right there with you? And I'm like, oh, my God, what a revelation. I mean, it was an eye-opener. I just was gullible, just blinded to the fact that God was watching me while I was doing everything wrong that I was doing. He watches you when you do things right, too. But, you know, it was like, oh, my God, forgive me, Father God. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, which says, and these words which I command thee this day, I'm going to back up one scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now listen to the next one. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently, diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. Not turn the TV on, but talk of them. What words? How good God is, how to love him with all their heart, soul, and strength. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you ride in your car, when you lie down, when you get up, and bind them for a sign upon thy hand. You know, we used to write in our hands as children. Sometimes we used to write cheat sheets in our hand. But you can tell your children, hey, baby, here's a little pen. You want to write in your hand? Write this scripture down and memorize it. This one says to learn to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength. So we can teach our children scriptures by having them write them in their hand. Write them on the doorpost. You know how children like to write on the wall? You know, give them some paper. Say, okay, now we're going to put this up on the wall for you to learn. Write it on a poster board. Give them poster board. Write it. Post it up on the house somewhere, on the gate. You know, I used to teach in New Orleans, and I taught Vietnamese children, black children, white children, Indian children, all different nationalities. When I rode into the Vietnamese neighborhood, don't you know on the top of their houses they had big signs? Now, I don't read Vietnamese, so I don't know what they said. But wouldn't it be great if we all, and sometimes I ride down the neighborhood where I live, and I see people say, Jesus is Lord. They have these big signs on the front of their homes, signs on their cars, Jesus is Lord, or I love the Lord. You know, we can have signs written up around our house and teaching our children. I remember one time my spiritual daughter stayed with me for a few months, and she got out the way with me one day. I said, okay, here, every time you see me, you say this scripture to me. And she learned it. She's 19 now. She told me a few months ago, she said, Sister G, I still remember that scripture you had me memorize. You got angry with me. So, you know, and not just in anger, but we can have fun with it. Like on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies, we have fun on there. We'll get on there and we'll talk, you know, we'll talk about the goodness of God and we'll do scripture search. I say, okay, the first one find the scripture, read it. We have fun. We laugh and we talk. So come on there sometimes. But anyway, write the scriptures. You know, like I said, our children are beginning to control us. They'll tell us, I don't want to do that here, Mama. Why I got to do this here? I don't want to do this here. Who are they to tell us what they don't want to do? God gave them to us. And he's going to hold us responsible if they control us. God made our children beautiful, but he also made us the parents over them so they can listen. Don't you know the enemy is out to kill our children, especially those that are out of control? You know, the enemy's trying to kill our children spiritually by putting labels on them in school. Over the century, both parents, you know, started to work. Instead of teaching them as God commanded them, they leave the teaching to the teaching of their academics to the schools and the spiritual teaching of the children, they leave that to the Sunday school teacher or to the pastors or even not at all. You know, some children don't even go to church. They don't even know God. They don't even get on their knees when they get up. They don't even get on their knees, period, unless they're playing some game on their knees like marbles or something. But, you know, we got to teach our children to pray. I remember teaching babies in the nursery, and they couldn't even talk. Parents would bring them in with pacifiers in their mouth. I say, here, they're not going to need this. They're going to sing. Oh, Sister G, they can't even talk. How are they going to sing? And a few months, they come back, and they say, Sister G, what's that song you're teaching them? I say, they can sing. They talk. They say they sing these songs every day. When they first came to the nursery, they had pacifiers in their mouth. I'd take them out, and I'd sing, and I'd clap over them. And pretty soon, the first words they were saying, some of them, Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes if you teach them about Jesus, they'll say Jesus before they say mama. They'll say Jesus before they say daddy. Most parents make sure their children learn to read, write, and calculate, you know, do math. But so many of our children lack biblical spiritual teaching. They have no knowledge or understanding of God's word. When they read the book of Daniel, when we read the book of Daniel, we see how Daniel was brought up as a child and how, you know, he knew God's word. He prayed three times a day. He had wisdom, skill. Do you think he was so gifted because he had a great relationship with God? Of course. Possible. The two were related. He was related to God. He kept a constant conversation with God. God gave him skill, wisdom, cunning knowledge, understanding of science. Well, so many of our children today are born smart. But notice, Daniel and his friends did not eat junk food. They ate healthy, and they ate good meals. Healthy. They had healthy minds and bodies. They obeyed God. What do you think would happen if our children obeyed God? What do you think would happen? I believe they would excel far above their friends that they go to school with. They would have the favor of God on their lives. They would be blessed. They would be used of God at an early age like Daniel and his friends. God is able to do exceedingly above what we can even ask or think of him. He's almighty. It is nothing that is impossible to God. We limit him. You know, we think he's like us. We limit it. But he's not like us. He's the almighty. Nothing impossible to him. You know, it suddenly came on me when I see so many of our children not being able to read and write and calculate, not because they can't, but so much is taking place in the schools that has nothing to do with God or academic learning at all. We have allowed our children to forget what school is about, why they go to school. They think they just go there to meet with their friends, to visit. So many of our children begin taking drugs in school, pharmakia. While in school, you know, they get on these pharmaceutical drugs. Then, you know, some of them drop out of school or they graduate, and then they can't get the medicine no more. They can't get the doctor to write the prescription. So what they do, they get out of school, and then they have, you know, they start getting on drugs in the street. Have you ever tried to stop eating sugar, drinking coffee, cold drinks, stop smoking? Have you ever found that it's not as easy as you thought to stop those things? Some things are addictive, and we don't even realize the effects they have on us. In the public schools, to be exact, some private schools, children are medicated to be controlled. When I was in school, the board or the paddle, you know, the strap controlled us. If the teacher said, do not get up, do not fight, we listened because they were going to use that board, and they spanked us. After integration came and the laws came in, well, things changed. We went from being spanked which they call corporal punishment, to being medicated. Now, during my time, of course, we weren't medicated, but nowadays they medicate children. I was teaching in a school a few years ago, and I didn't know what was wrong with the child. He couldn't hardly speak. He just was looked like he was in a daze, and I asked him something, and he heard me, but it would take him a process. Looked like his mind was processing what I asked him. And I started praying. I said, Lord, what is wrong with this child? The Lord said he is medicated. He was taking Ritalin, and he had such behavior problems until they medicated that child so heavily that he couldn't even process school. He couldn't even hardly learn. Now, you know, I spoke to his mother after I had prayed, and I said, ma'am, he can't function in school. He can't even do his work. He's so drugged up. And she said, well, you know, I'm going to take him off. So she took him off of some of it, and some of his behavior came out. So I said, wait a minute, young man, let me tell you something. This is school. You will behave. And, of course, I had consequences and rewards. He started behaving. It wasn't expected of him to behave. Whatever we expect of our children, that's what they're going to do. Don't you know that child was brilliant? He was so smart. But how would I know it? Because he was drugged up. We cannot drug our children up with Ritalin and all of this garbage, junk food. Don't you know Daniel and his friends, they were not drugged up. They were full of the Spirit of God. Fill our children with the Spirit of God, and they will not go against you anymore if they're filled with the Spirit of God. So, you know, it saddens me to see children on Ritalin and all these drugs. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten thy son while there is still hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Don't you fear to use that rod of correction on your children. It will save their lives. I meet children on the street every day, and I'm praying for them. One young man, he had never known God, never accepted God. 16 years old. Met him. He had just come out of a correctional institution. Now, you know that's young. Nobody's corrected that child. It's our fault when we don't correct them. I get so angry sometimes when I see our children out there in the night, running the street, should be at home. I taught school in Louisiana. A young man, he was on my road, never came to school. Don't you know that child? When he came to school, he was so drugged up. I say, what is wrong? He was on drugs. He said, you wouldn't understand. We had a private conversation talking about he was a runner for drugs. I'm talking about in the 80s, early 80s. He was a runner for drugs. Stop school. Quit school. Don't you know later that summer, that boy killed another child, a five-year-old child. As far as I know, he's still in prison. Drugs will kill the brain. They don't even think. He couldn't think no more. The child was an A-B student. Drugs ruined him. Parents, stand up for your children in the prayer room. Stand up and control your children. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child. For if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. So whatever you have to do to save your children, save them. When parents stop obeying God, the consequences become grave. The caskets are increasing for children. Our caskets start, you know, our children start coming up missing. They are slain in the street, shot in the schools. Bad news, and the news gets worse. Mothers are crying. Fathers are crying. over caskets of their children. Instead of parents going, leaving this earth first, their children are leaving. May our children, many of our children, are being slain in the street. There's a place down not too far from me, I can walk there from where I live, called Families of Slain Children. She lost her child, and God moved on her to open a business called Families of Slain Children. She has a billboard out front. I mean thousands of children's name on the board. I could just cry when I see the children that have been lost because we as parents, we as adults are not correcting them. I don't care. I correct them on the street. I say, hey, cut that out. You know better. And don't you know they're respectful? Yes, ma'am. They listen. They don't cuss me out. They listen. They know I'm a woman of God. Older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and love their children. Older men are to teach the younger men how to follow God, how to love their wives, how to love their children. Solomon, the son of David, and Bathsheba was, you know, Solomon was a family man. Solomon saw what could happen to his son, and so he told his son, follow wisdom. He took time off of his job to teach his son. You know, Solomon had a great job. He was a king. He didn't care. He still took time off. He set his son down and he taught him. He loved his son. And what his son, he said, you know, he loved his son so much and he didn't want his son to choose anything but wisdom. He said, do not forsake what I'm telling you, my son. What I'm telling you will save your life. What I'm telling you will save your life. So Solomon taught his son about God. Solomon taught his son. He didn't just let the school teach him. He didn't just let the churches teach his son, the temple. No, he could have hired anybody to teach his son. Even though Solomon was busy, he took off. He had a whole nation to look over. He was the king. He loved his son. And he told him, he said, choose wisdom. We've been studying Proverbs on Thursday night on Boys to Men and Girls to Ladies. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. In Proverbs 1:1, Solomon instructs his son about life. He said, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom, instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give stability, subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, this is also young women, not just young men, young women also. So we need to teach. Don't let our children grow up ignorant. Some children don't even know God. They don't know that God created them. They don't know the verse in Genesis 1:1, and God created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator. They don't know that. We need to teach our children. Don't let them be ignorant. So Solomon told his son, you know, I want you to be aware of what's going on in the world. And, you know, you tell your children, look, you see on the news here, you see all these children that got killed? Let me tell you, it's for a reason. Some of them are rebellious and stubborn. Some of them are because of what we've been too lenient. We got to tighten up on our children. I've been to funerals where I saw a child in my neighborhood. Now, he was a good child, but he was shot by some bad person because he had money. Got a check in the mail, they shot that child. He was a child of God. God had saved that child at an early age. When I went to that funeral and I saw his parents shaking, they were shaking, shaking. They just couldn't believe. They were in shock at what the murder of their son. He was 18, first year in college, life taken out. Because we're not teaching our children. We got to teach them from the time they get up. to the time they go to bed. So Solomon introduces himself. He tells us he is the son of a king, King David. That was his father. He is a very important man, but he still took time to teach his son. He didn't wait for anybody else to teach him what he knew he had to teach him. Solomon taught his son, his own child, he taught him. And his wife. Not only did Solomon teach him, his wife taught him, you know, taught their son also. Proverbs 1:2, he says, son, I want you to know wisdom. Not just know about wisdom, I want you to know it. When you know something, you get acquainted with it. You're familiar with it. You don't miss it. You wear it. You know it very well. Solomon calls his son in Matthew 1:7, and he says Solomon was, you know, his son's name was Rehoboam. I always read in Proverbs where he talked about my son. So I said, I wonder what his son's name was, Rehoboam. And his mother's name was Nehemiah, N-A-A-M-A-H, Nehemiah. 1 Kings 14:21-31 tells her name. So Solomon teaches his son to know in wisdom and instruction. He also teaches him, you know, he teaches him wisdom and instruction. He instructs him in the ways of God. And instruction means to provide authoritative information. You know, he was a father. He took authority over the things he needed to take authority over in his household as well as in the temple. Now, he wasn't a perfect man. You know the story of Solomon. Proverbs 1:5, his son Rehoboam, if you are wise and you do the things that I'm telling you, you will increase learning. You will increase understanding, and you can obtain wise counsel. My son, I want you to understand these wise things I'm instructing you in and discern by the Spirit of God. Now, Solomon's son could not discern by the Spirit of God if he didn't have the Spirit of God in him. But that's how Solomon brought him up, with the Spirit of God in him, teaching him about God. He wouldn't have known how to use what his father was telling him if he didn't have that discernment. Then I know you will be fine if you listen to me. Apply everything that I'm telling you, that I'm teaching you. That way you will not be tempted to go the wrong way, to make unwise choices. Then you will be blessed instead of cursed. Don't you know our children will be cursed if they're disobedient? But if they're obedient, they will live long lives. Read it in Ephesians 6 chapter. That's what the Lord said. If they're obedient, they will live long lives. I am teaching you. What I'm teaching you, he said, is to fear God. The fear of God, he told him, he said, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom. They literally hate wisdom and instruction. They do not want anyone, especially wise people, to correct them or to teach them. Rehoboam, not only do I want you to hear my instructions, but I do want you not to forsake them. Do not turn away from what your mother has taught you. The law she's taught you is so valuable. Everything she's taught you is very valuable. Now, hear what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. When bad people who you don't know, who don't know God, and don't want to know God, sinners come to you telling you to do evil, bad things, don't go with them. Do what I'm telling you to do. Do what God wants you to do. Your mother and I love you, Rehoboam, and we want you to have a good life, free from prison, free from drugs, free from alcohol, free from addictions. Stay close to God. Love God with all your heart and strength and soul, and you will never go wrong. When your mother and I can't be with you, God will be with you. He will watch over you. He will protect you. But you got to know him first. But you must resist evil and evil people. Those who kill others will be killed also. The streets are full of trouble. Follow God and the ways of God, and you will avoid deadly consequences. So, on that note, listen to Solomon. Read it for yourself. Proverbs, the whole book of Proverbs is full of wise wisdom, full of wisdom, full of wise things on how to teach your children. Well, this morning we have another mighty woman of God on with her, us this morning. She pressed one some time ago, and I was aware that you were there, Jackie. She's from Jacksonville, Florida. She's a mighty woman of God, and God has gifted her with the voice of song. Good morning, Jackie. Jackie, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can
Hello?
Hear you now. I didn't hear you at first.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm going to sing a song my mother loved every. But she was always in church. She loved to sing the song and some choices we try to make today. Hopefully we'll make the right choices, like you said, taking care of those children and everything. I've been listening to you. So I'm going to sing this song for you all. Some folks would rather have houses and land, and some folks choose silver and gold. But these things that they treasure and forget about their souls, and I've decided to make Jesus my choice. You know the road is rough and the going is tough and the hills are hard to climb. I started out a long time ago, but there is no doubt in my mind I've decided to make Jesus my choice. 'Cause you know the road is rough and the going is tough and the hills are hard to climb. And I started out a long time ago, but there is no doubt in my mind I've decided to make Jesus my choice.
Amen. I decided to make Jesus my choice. What an appropriate song, because that's what we all need to do, make Jesus our choice. You know, he chose us. He pulled us out of
there.
And so I say that we should make Jesus our choice, because he chose us. I chose Jesus because he is the one who created us. He is Abba, Father, which art in heaven. He sits on the right hand of God making intercession for us, all of us. So I thank God that he was there for me. God was long-suffering with me. I guess you say, well, my daughter, Karitha, it's time to come in now. You can't be no more prodigal child no more. It's time for you to come in and follow me. You done been out there long enough. So I thank God it's time to make Jesus. Jackie, that was awesome. I thank God for that beautiful song.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, our next guest is a young lady who comes to us every week on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. She is a young woman from Kalamazoo. Her name is LaMaya. She is gifted and talented in singing and in playing an instrument. Good morning, LaMaya.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm doing great. Now, let me tell you, everybody, this is a brilliant young woman. Her mother has put so much in her, teaching her about God and his ways, and she is wise like Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and she's like Daniel. You know, she has a lot of wisdom, and she's sharp. She knows all those things in science. She's skillful in school. So I thank God for you, LaMaya. You're going to play that instrument for us? Tell us about that instrument before you play it. What's it called?
It's called the bass. It's one of the orchestra instruments. It's higher than the cello. It's basically bigger than almost all of the orchestra instruments. And, yeah, that's it.
Does it look like a violin?
Yes, but it's way bigger than the violin.
Is it taller than you? Are you taller than that instrument or taller than you?
It's taller than me.
Whoa.
The thing is, I only have the baby bass, but my teacher, he has the older bass.
Yeah.
So mine is really small compared to the other ones.
Whoa. Well, we're ready to listen. What you going to play for us?
I'm going to play Amazing Grace and Go Tell It on the Mountain. So I'm going to start off with Go Tell It on the Mountain. And then
okay.
I'm going to end off with Amazing Grace.
All right. We're ready to listen. God, hallelujah. Woo! That was awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
You are talented. Ooh, that was awesome.
All glories to God.
You must,
all glories to God.
Amen, amen. God has really gifted you and given you much talent. That was awesome. And I want to let you know she can sing too now. And you know what? Talent runs in her family. Her mother is our next guest. Her mother's Tanisha Grundy. She's a great, mighty woman of God. She has put so much in her daughter. Teaching Lamaya, I tell you what, you should come on Thursdays and hear Lamaya pray. I could tell Lamaya anything. I said, Lamaya, can you pray for this? Oh, my God, the Spirit of God just comes on this young woman. Lamaya just turned 13. Was it this month, Lamaya, or last month?
This month, on the 2nd of January.
January 2nd. She did. Look how wonderful she plays. Go Tell It on the Mountain and Amazing Grace. Now, I don't even know all the words, but she can play them on an instrument. Honey, you just keep trusting in God, and don't forget that wisdom that we're teaching you about on Thursdays. Lamaya is so smart, she can tell us, Lamaya, how many books in the Bible?
There are 66 altogether.
Yeah, 66 books in the Bible. Now, tell me, Lamaya, what our foundation scripture is. Where is it found?
It's found in It's found in 1 Corinthians 13:11, and it's called, it's when I spake, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away all childish things.
Good. All right. You got it. You almost know it by heart. That was good. That was great. She is so brilliant. I mean, for her to play an instrument. You were reading the music while you were playing?
No, I figured it out on my own.
What? Now, that's extra talent. You know, it's one thing to read the music and play, but it's another thing when God gives you just that gift where you don't need music. Just play by the Spirit of God. That was awesome, Lamaya. Thank God for you. I love you, Lamaya.
I love you, too. Thank you for letting me be on the show.
Oh, honey, I thank God for you being on. So her mother is our next guest, Sister Tanisha Grundy, great mighty woman of God, prayer warrior, prophetess of the Lord. I tell you what, you know, sometimes I call her and she pray for me, and I'm like, Lord, I thank you for her prayers. Thank you. Good morning, Sister Tanisha. How are you?
I'm doing great on this morning. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, I thank God for you and the mother that you are. So we're listening. You're going to give us that great testimony this morning.
Yes, ma'am. I just count it a privilege to be on this show. It's a great ministry, and it's reaching families and children. I also thank God for Boys to Men and Women to Ladies. It's another awesome show, and I would encourage all the families that have young children to be a part of that, because it's definitely blessing me and my daughter, as well as, you know, people that I invite to the show. I wanted to start my testimony off with Psalm 78, and it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark things of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. We should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And that was Psalm 78, 1 through 7. And I just wanted to kind of expound on the scripture and give my testimony. I remember being a new mother and just totally being unaware on how to raise my child for a very long time. I was never a bad person, you know. I always thought at some point in time good was good enough. But I remember just being a young mother trying to raise my daughter, and I didn't know all the answers. I wasn't really raised well myself, so I didn't, you know, have good leadership over me as a child. But I remember just really seeking God's face and asking him to show me and teach me how to be a mother. And I began to just study the word. I'm learning more and more now that I'm the age of 32. I had my daughter at a young age, which was 19. I'm learning the more that we study the word, the more that we apply the Bible to our lives, the more God will help us and show us on how to raise our children. There's a faithful scripture that talks about training up a child and they won't depart. I'm learning every day, to not only just talk about the word, but to apply the word, because it's so faithful, it's so just, it's so pure, and it will, you know, teach our children, you know, instruction, not only while they're up under our roof, but when they go out into the schools, you know, when they go out into the public, it goes a long way. I'm reminded with just how in today's youth, a lot of times they can be deceived from videos, from television, from the educational system. And I just wanted to share this far as my daughter, me training her in the word, and just me keeping her rooted and grounded in church. I remember she was being educated by one of her teachers, and they basically was saying that God doesn't exist and science is what prevails, and we were, you know, revolutionized from monkeys. And I remember my daughter debating that with the teacher, and the teacher was very upset about it. But she stood firm to who her creator was. And I really just, you know, admired that. I remember there was a video on TV, and my daughter, she liked the video. You know, a lot of her peers liked the video. But as I watched the video, I loved the song before I watched the video, and I began to depict the video. And I went back to how, you know, if we're not wise and watch and pray, we will, even the elect would be deceived. This video literally was mocking and just putting down Christians. And I remember just telling my daughter and her friends, depicting the video bit by bit, letting them know this is how the enemy is cunning and deceiving. And if we're not get girded up in the truth, if we're not girded up in the word, you know, the enemy will try to deceive us through things, especially music, because we're all aware that he was the angel of music and he was cast out because of his defiance of the Lord, thinking that he can take God's place, his creator. So he wants to get his place back, and he will use any avenue to deceive our children, especially through music and music videos. But going back to Psalm 78, training up a child. And we have to look at the grand scheme of things. You know, what we teach our children will go on for legacies. We have to train up our children because they are setting the trend. They're setting the tone for their children if God blesses and graces them to have children. I'm learning every day, day by day, that we are held accountable and children are a reflection of us. You know, a lot of times I hear people saying that their children are bad, their children are this. And I'm like, look at yourself in the mirror. Your child is only going to do as much as you allow them to do or as much as you show them. I learned at a very young age not to curse at my daughter, more so to talk to her, because children, they listen more when you talk to them out of love and correct them out of love. And I'm learning this day by day. I guess to make a long story short, I didn't know anything about being a parent. I didn't know too much about raising a child, but the more that I yielded myself and the more that I got into the word and through prayer, God is showing me how to be a mother day by day. And through love, we can draw our children. Through love, we can draw our neighbors. Through love, we can draw those who we think are unreachable. I'm learning to love and chastise my daughter through love. I will say this too, God is teaching me more to discipline my child, and the punishment should fit the crime. Any time that my daughter steps out of line and it's to the extreme, yes, I will chastise her with the rod, because sometimes we need to do that so they can understand that there are consequences behind every action. And I just thank God for being a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace, and I just thank him for being so compassionate. I thank him for choosing me for such a time as this, because not only am I teaching my daughter how to be a mighty woman of God, but it's a ripple effect, even with my neighbors and their children, even with young women of today that God brings in my arena. I count it a privilege to just witness to them and minister to them and, you know, be that vessel that God has called me for today, to not only talk about it, but demonstrate God's word, demonstrate the love of Christ, because we, you know, mighty women of God are desperately needed for times like this. It's not too many women that will, you know, lift up a standard for Christ, and I just thank God for using me and choosing me to just edify his temple and be an example to my daughter and to those around me. And I just thank God for you having me on the show today. Sister Caritha, I ask that you just keep me in prayer, keep me lifted up, and I just really enjoy coming on the show, singing, and just sharing the gifts and talents that God has placed in me. And I believe God is not finished. I see new beginnings with my life, and I just, you know, ask that all the saints of God be encouraged, continue to seek the Lord. You know, he will answer you. He will give you the desires of your heart. The more that we seek him, the more he will show us. There's a scripture that talks about ye that dwelleth in the secret place. And I'm learning the more that I diligently seek him and I really lean and incline my ears to him, the more he shows me. And so with that being said, I just thank God for being on the show, and I'm looking forward to being on the show again. You all have a blessed and wonderful day.
Amen, amen. What an awesome testimony. And you know what? She says that she, you know, being is an example to her daughter, and that's true. Because when her daughter comes on, boys to men, girls to ladies, on Thursdays, it is so evident the training that her mother has given her. Because, you know, children, they're not hypocrites. They're going to be just who they are. So LaMaya is kind. She's respectful. She listens. She learns. She participates. And I appreciate everything her mother has put, you know, has put into her, because it takes time. You know, her mother could be out on Friday night, you know, having a some kind of a party or hanging out with men or doing drugs or whatever, but she's a godly woman. So LaMaya is blessed to have a godly mother to train and bring her up. And so I thank God for LaMaya, you know, obeying her mother, listening to her mother, and following her mother's instructions, because when she comes on Thursdays, it's very evident that her mother has worked with her, not just starting yesterday or last week, but since she was a child. Her mother, like her mother says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. And a lot of people say, oh, you know they're going to stray. Uh-uh. Some people stay faithful from children all the way to adult. I didn't say that they didn't sin. I said they stay faithful to God. Because we're human, we sin. Now, Tanisha didn't even know. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 78, how we should teach the generations to come about the mighty God. That's one of my favorite ones. So, you know, I could talk about God all day, y'all. So we're going to move on. Our next thing that we're going to do is pray. We're going to pray. I see Sister Brenda on there.
Worship and adore him.
Amen.
Come, let us adore him.
That's Sister Jackie. Go ahead, Sister.
Before him, worship and adore him. Emmanuel. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Emmanuel. Ooh, yes. Emmanuel. Ooh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, come. Come, let us adore him. Kneel down before him. Worship and adore him. Oh, yes. Oh, come. Come, let us adore him. Kneel down before him. Worship and adore him. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Emmanuel. 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 Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up another morning. Thank you, Jesus, for watching over me while I was sleeping, taking care of my patients. Lord, I thank you, God. Take care of my husband and my children, Lord, and my family, Jesus. My friends, Lord. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy, God. Oh, we need your strength and your help, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, God, to be able to help one another, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lordy. Carissa?
Yes.
I was on the radio. I'm sorry. I thought I was off.
No, you were on. We were just waiting. You were praising the name of the Lord, Emmanuel. So, honey, we just let the Spirit of the Lord just take over. We thank God for you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Y'all take over. I'm going to go out to go to work.
All right, baby. We thank God for you. Emmanuel.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was home. I didn't know.
Ah, that's all right. Can I have prayer now? I thank God for you. We serve a great God. So we have Evangelist Brenda Lombard on with us. She's going to, I believe, Sister Lombard, how are you?
I'm doing great, Sister G. Good morning to one and all. And it's a blessing to be on Bible Storyland for families this morning once again.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Well, I'm requesting prayer for Aunt Mildred, her daughter Mavis, and Mavis's family, her daughter and children. And it's several people pressed one here. Let's see. Jackie, you want prayer? She may not hear me right now, but anyway, I'm putting Jackie and her family down and the people that she worked for, you know, the elderly.
Oh, yeah.
Press one here. 281, that's Brenda. Okay, anybody else want prayer? Press one.
I would like prayer. I pushed one, but I don't know if you saw it.
Okay. All right, I already had you on. I didn't recognize it at first. Okay. All right, somebody's moving around something. Can I'll mute you. I think, is that Jackie, you moving around?
I'm putting it on mute.
Okay, babe. All right.
Is it on mute now?
No, I still hear you.
Okay, let me put you on mute.
Okay.
This was Sister Tanisha requesting prayer concerning me and my daughter walking in our calling, every gift and talent that God has bestowed upon us. We do not want to bury them talents, but we want to bring those talents into fruition. And I just ask for strength against principalities and that God just will be done in me and my daughter's life.
All right. Okay, God's will be done. Okay, thank you. Martha Gonda, you're on. You press one.
Yes. Yes. Can
good morning. Yes, I
can. Morning.
Good morning.
The program has just been so rich, and even 80-year-olds can glean from the young. And I just want to thank God for my daughter, Sandra, and her husband, Mike. They're a blessing to me. Sometimes I feel like I'm the child and they're the parents because there's nothing that I need done that they won't do for me. So I'm just thankful, so thankful. And then the whole program, Tanisha, her daughter, and everyone else, I just have gleaned so richly. So I am asking for prayer. Just need prayer for strength, for wisdom, and and I just thank you for the. I wanted to say this one little testimony about Sandra led me to speaking in tongues. I used to be arrogant and say, "Oh, I don't need all of that," you know. I want the devil to know what I'm saying. I'm a pray in English. But one day she kept inviting me to this little prayer group that she and her members of her church had. And I sat there, and when they pray out loud in tongues, I'd pray in English, in defiance. And one day, the tears started streaming down my eyes, and one of the sisters came and just whispered in my ear. And it was just like a sweet gold or something going straight down my ear, down into my inner being, and I began to cry. And then words started coming out, and she took me out, and that's where, you know, the gift of tongues was birthed in me, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm thankful that that Sandra was right with me, and she stayed with me, and she pursued. And so now, you know, I need everything I can get, even though, like I said, I'm 80 years old. I need all the help, all the spiritual strength that I can get. So I'm asking for your prayers in any way and every way that you desire.
Amen, amen. Okay. Thank you, Sister Martha from Kalamazoo. Someone else press one. Is that you, David?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
How are you, David?
I'm blessed and grateful and thankful for you all.
Yes, I lifted you up in prayer this week. I know you said your mom had passed away, so, you know, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yes, ma'am. We concluded everything Wednesday morning, and she's, you know, going to be with God. And, you know, I expressed to the people that that's just her vessel she used to travel this earth. But her spirit and her soul lives on, and she's watching over us. And I pretty much want to pray for all a lot of people that look at my life and look at my spiritual walk. And I try to get most of them on Bible Story Land to get them to initiate some type of spiritual engagement with God, because I really want you to understand that it's important that you build your close personal relationship with God. So a lot of people think they flash on to other people. I mean, it does help, but I'm wanting people to commit more to God and to seek Him and want to do it of their own, not of people pushing. So that's, I'm praying for all family, friends, and even my enemies that have any questions about God and the love of God. They can seek a strong relationship. Did you get me on all that?
Yeah, are you driving?
No, ma'am, I'm not driving.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be somebody that's making all that points.
Yeah, I hear that noise.
But basically,
Grace, something to say. Go ahead, Grace. Grace, did you press 1? Okay. Maybe she didn't press 1, but anyway, it came up on here where she pressed 1, but she may not have meant to. Okay. Anyone else? Hello?
There's no way in the world to think I pressed 1.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Are you there? Yes? You're already on.
Oh?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
You yeah, this prayer? Is just, yes, I would like prayer. I have some decisions to make, and I just want to be in the will of the Lord.
Okay. All right, thank you, Sister Sandra.
Yes.
All right, somebody else is pressing 1. Yes. Okay, let's see. Maybe somebody else pressed. Hold on. Okay. Gray, my sister. Something. Okay. All right. I guess you didn't want to say anything. Okay. All right. So, anybody else? Prayer. Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. All right.
I can hear you, but I went on.
Okay, good.
Yes, we can
all
hear
right.
You.
All right. It is prayer time. Sister Lombard is going to lead us in prayer for Aunt Mildred, Mavis, and their family, Jackie, Travis, her family, Tanisha, and Amaya, mother and daughter, for the gifts and talents being used to give God glory. Martha Gonda for strength and wisdom, and as the Lord leads you, David Jeremiah for prayer for comfort for his family and for families and friends. And Sister Sandra, she has a decision to make, so she wants to make it, you know, according to the will of the Lord. So